The epistle appointed to be read for this, the second Sunday in Lent, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brethren, even as you have learned from us how you ought to walk and to please God, as indeed you are walking, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus to make even greater progress. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from immorality, that every one of you learn how to possess his vessel in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and overreach his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and was transfigured before them. And his face shone as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias, talking together with him. Then Peter addressed Jesus, saying, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us set up three tents here, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. As he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And on hearing it, the disciples fell on their faces and were exceedingly afraid. And Jesus came near and touched them and said to them, Arise, and do not be afraid. But lifting up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus cautioned them, saying, Tell the vision to no one, till the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, there are some points that I need to bring to your attention this morning. As you know, on March the 21st is the feast of our Most Holy Father, Saint Benedict, and for us Benedictines, it is a very large feast day. The novena to that feast begins tonight for us, and I suggest that insofar as you can and have the opportunity, that you say a short prayer of novena, if you can, during these days before the feast, asking Saint Benedict for his protection and for his helpful inspiration, that we ourselves as monks can become at least a little bit of what he expects of monks. So please pray for us during these days. Tomorrow, it is actually today, but because it is Sunday and during Lent we are not allowed to celebrate any feasts of any sort, it has to be transferred, therefore, to tomorrow is the feast of St. Gregory the Great. St. Gregory the Great was truly the great, and he did so much in setting up the kind of way that we, as holy followers of Jesus Christ in his holy church, should be. So of all ones, please pray to St. Gregory tomorrow that he will help us all Help us in this horrible mess that we look around us in our holy religion, that he will come back and straighten it out. We have a very gorgeous window in honor of St. Gregory over there, and it would be good if you just paid him a little visit and asked him to help. Friday of this week is the Feast of St. Patrick. Happy Feast, Happy St. Patrick's Day. Remember what St. Patrick did to Ireland and did for Ireland. And now, in spite of whatever, look at the condition of things in Ireland. Pray to St. Patrick, not only for Ireland, but for our church and religion. There is something said in today's bulletin about the quantity of Catholic, written in quotation marks, religious stuff that is being pumped around all over the place. I just encourage you to be careful of what you read. I dare say, if I'm being used this word stuff, and I use it disrespectfully, intentionally. The great trip for this that comes into your homes, into your houses, should be made straight from the mailbox to the waste paper box and leave it there. Tear it up so nobody else can see it. A lot of it is just simply not good. It's incorrect and it's full of stuff. Remember, it was said, and I say it to you, that if even legions of angels were to come down and speak one word, just one word, against truth, established truth, you're not to believe it. Truth is truth. And positively, nobody in heaven or under heaven can change it. Now you wonder why I'm so emphatic. Well, you know, you've seen in the western sky sometimes storms. Sometimes you see storms, one storm is just coming over and getting past us. When you look to the west and you see other storms beginning to form, look out, my dear people, look out. That's all I can tell you. I go to what we have just read in today's epistle. The brethren, even as you have learned from us how you ought to walk and to please God, as indeed you are walking, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus to make even greater progress. And he goes on to say, I can't find it easily to quote it, that is, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Yes, we will never and we cannot ever be satisfied with progress spiritually. You remember last Sunday, we spoke about hypocrisy. And how dreadful and how tarnishing hypocrisy really is to everything we do, in all the prayers that we say, And that for the majority of people, hypocrisy is not looked upon as a sin. But depending, hypocrisy is sinful. Whether it's hypocrisy before man, and worse still, hypocrisy before God. Therefore, let us be on our guard against that. That sincerity has to be the guiding light of everything we do. This morning, since it is Lent, we go then from hypocrisy, we go to prayer. I very much want you to read and reread what has to be said about, what is being said rather, about prayer in our bulletin this morning. Sometimes we might get, and often, or I shouldn't say sometimes, but oftentimes, we get the wrong impression about prayer. The world, I forget who said it now, I think it was St. Francis de Sales, I'm not certain at the moment. The world was made for prayer. And if we might quote it a little on our own, may I say this, that we in the world were made for prayer. We do not comprehend this, and we think sometimes that all of us are called upon to be as monks and nuns and, you know, and be on our knees. My beloved people, even monks and nuns are not always on their knees. Somebody has got to cook. And somebody has to wash the clothes. And somebody has to do other things around and about. And you can't very well cook from on your knees. That's for monks. But for the rest of us, we have our daily works and chores to do. How on earth do you pretend to say that we must pray constantly, which we should pray and must pray constantly? I am not here speaking of continuous prayers. Please hear me, I said prayers, plural. Some people mistakenly think that a prayer life indicates or means that we must be reciting vocal prayers if and when we pray. That is only partly true. Yes, we do recite vocal prayers. There is such thing as vocal prayer as also mental prayer. But we're not speaking of mental prayer this morning. I'm speaking of vocal prayer. Those are the prayers that you say, the rosary, the prayers that you read off of prayer cards, whatever. Those are vocal prayers. And we take time out for those prayers. And those prayers should be recited, not just read, but they should be recited in order that an additional dimension may be given force to them. I'm not really speaking of vocal prayers this morning. I'm speaking of prayer. How on earth do we live a life of prayer? I've got to get up in the morning. I've got to drive through heavy traffic at rush hour. I've got to go to work. I've got to deal with all kinds of problems throughout the day. I've got to satisfy the customer. I've got to satisfy my boss. I've got to make money for the company. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. How on earth am I going to pray? Very simply, may I ask you, those who may be in an act of love, I will speak about that in a moment, about something about love. You know, love, we hear a lot about it from here. Love is something that is constantly in our minds, consciously sometimes, but always subconsciously there. And if we love God as we should, prayer is that is the making, that is the foundation, that some subconscious love is the foundation for our constant prayer. That everything we do, whatever it may be, everything we do is done with that subconscious feeling of love, that feeling of prayer to Almighty God. It's always there. And that turns even our disagreeable moments of life during the day, it turns them into something of a higher form. And it makes these things valuable, whereas it would be valueless if you did not form a proper intention during the day. And it's said in here, even we must learn how to pray as we speak. And if we learn how to pray as we speak, I dare say that our speech might undergo some kind of change. It says here also, we must learn how to pray as we walk and as we sleep. People say, well, how in the world do you pray when you sleep? Very simply, offer your sleep up. Give your sleep to God. And ask Almighty God, and ask your guardian, and let us ask our guardian angel to clean up our dreams, which sometimes might be a little bit out of order. We all know these things, do we not? It says here, we must pray with our gestures. Learn how to pray with our gestures. How, you know, this morning we speak in terms, St. Paul spoke to us to please, to make sure to learn all these things. And as we walk, that we can walk with modesty, that we can look with modesty, that we can keep our minds, our hearts, our eyes controlled with modesty. There's so much. And see, these things are unconsciously taken care of. So let us keep in mind what we're talking about. It says also that we must give glory under a wide open heaven, at everything, absolutely everything, has to be done as if heaven were there to give us the protection that we need. And that our prayer, that we realize that our prayer is going through heaven to the very throne of Almighty God. And it continues and continues. But the whole thing is that we must, our entire life must be turned into virtue. That is all I'm going to say about this morning, because I have something else that I wish to talk about. This morning, by the grace of God, His blessing is coming upon all of us. And we must be very grateful for this. For an entire family this morning is going to approach the communion rail and receive their Lord and God in Holy Communion for the first time. This is no small thing. I want that family to know that all of us are praying for that family. I want also for that family to know that we beg that family to pray for us. At this awesome moment in their lives, when they will have locked up in their hearts the true God and true man in Holy Communion. I want that family to talk to him with all of the earnestness possible. And if I may, I'm going to tell you a little story. I have permission to speak of this story this morning. About 2 years ago, a certain young man by the name of Justin, I think most of us know who Justin is. It's a loving knowledge of Justin. But Justin moves around quite a bit. And we do know that Justin can be a little bit persistent. Justin came to me and asked to receive instructions to become a Catholic. Of course, the answer was yes. But Justin received great opposition. He received great opposition from home. He received great opposition from his father in this regard. And no one in the family was anxious or cooperative or even wanted Justin to become a Catholic. Justin continued. He became a Catholic. The opposition grew. And then finally, Justin prevailed upon his father, who opposed him the greatest, prevailed upon his father to at least come inside that church and just walk in there. That's all I ask. All this time I have been arguing and arguing and arguing with you. Now I'm asking you, just walk inside that church with me. Reluctantly, the father agreed to walk inside this church. He walked in. He no sooner walked in, an argument vanished, and that man walked into presence. This morning, that man and his family will walk up here and receive presence. The grace of God is the most powerful agent on this earth, if we only had enough sense to know that. No more argument, but presence. I bless this family, and I bless us And for the rest of us, though we may not be able, as Justin did, to persist and to keep on, the conditions and the circumstances are always different. But for the rest of us, let us pray for the grace of God to enter into the hearts and minds of those we love and to perform its work within the hearts and minds of those we love. We're not here, my beloved people, and we're going to hear more about this. As I said a while ago, I was going to say something about love. You know, we've spoken quite a bit about love here, and we proceed in the use of that word with great caution. As you know, the very word itself has degenerated in past years into something that is totally inappropriate. It appears, and I say it appears, I say that with caution, it appears that the word is being used again. And with the type of emphasis that is without responsibility. Love without responsibility becomes L-U-V. And it appears, I'm saying that it appears, understand me clearly, it appears that this notion of L-U-V, we love everybody. There is an element of ecumenicity about it, you know? Keep it where it belongs, and when you hear about it, be careful what you keep thinking about it, dear people, because it is not right. So let us be very careful, and let us be grateful that Almighty God does give us the grace to love Him as we ought. And love, of course, proper love, is the foundation for sincerity. It fights hypocrisy. You cannot love and be a hypocrite. It is impossible to love and be a hypocrite at the same time. Either you are one or the other. You cannot be both. Love is fatal to hypocrisy. Therefore, love is the foundation stone for prayer, and we must ascend to the highest heights of heaven by prayer. This is Lent, and of course, as St. Paul says, and the Lord Jesus exhorts us to make even greater progress. We are never satisfied. I, as you know, I'm in the same boat with you. I know well enough that my Lord and God simply cannot be satisfied with me. And therefore, I ask for the grace for me, for us, and for you, that our gift of ourselves is acceptable to God, and that as we pray, that we truly lift our minds and hearts and souls to Him. There is nothing else of any greater importance on this earth. Everything we have will be left behind except love and prayer. That we carry with us as we approach the open heaven. that awaits those of us who truly love him with all of our minds and hearts and souls and being and body. My beloved people, and please let the Prescott family come to communion first before we move. And as the host is placed on their tongues, I think every one of you knows exactly what to say. God bless his family. God bless us. God bless the man who walked in here. The man who came in here to scoff and remained to pray. Did you not?